Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Hello, welcome to the next episode of the City Confessions. I have a really, really special guest. I feel like you are a celebrity, so like I'm so honored. I have Angela Gargano. She is a celebrity trainer, and you guys might know her because she was featured in American Ninja Warrior, and she is also the winner of Miss Fitness America 2016, and I know that you have like a whole bunch of titles. So instead of me introducing you, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about who you are in a nutshell?
Yeah, I guess in a nutshell, yes, I'm a celebrity fitness trainer, but I'm also I've been featured on NBC's American Ninja Warrior. I've been on it for 3 seasons. This season was known mostly, if you've seen me, you probably saw me in the commercial as the girl who basically tore her ACL, collapsed on the floor, and came back for the next season and completely like crushed the course. So if you've seen that, it's kind of an inspirational story to show you guys that you guys can come back even stronger. And then I've also been featured in Women's Health, Shape, Oxygen Magazine. Actually, I have a program in Oxygen Magazine right now called The Warrior Shred in Shape Magazine. And basically my mission is to help women own their bodies, love their bodies, no matter what state it's in, and whether that be you being injured right now, or maybe you're not exactly where you want to be. I want to show people that like through all the things and the hardships that I've been through, that you guys can continue and you guys can literally do anything you put your mind through, because everything that I've accomplished has not been easy and it did not come to me right away. So that's basically my mission with everything.
I love hearing that. So let's rewind a little bit. And why don't you tell us, where did you grow up? And what is your relationship with New York? Because I don't know if you know, but I'm a native, and that's the whole point of me starting this podcast. I really wanted to start interviewing people who live in New York, whether, you were born here, whatever the case is. At the end of the day, you live here right now. And I think New York is a special place. And I just wanted to share stories of people doing amazing things like yourself. So where did you grow up and how did you come to
I actually originally grew up in Byram, New Jersey, which if I ever say that name, nobody knows where that is.
I don't know.
It's like super northwest in Jersey, like in the I would say like in the farmland, like not Newark, like at all. Like, so basically the middle of nowhere. What we were known for in our town was this place called Wild West City, which is basically like an old West City. Like seriously. So think about that. So anyway, so that's where I grew up. Grew up there, and then I actually wound up going to college in Rhode Island, and that's where I did college gymnastics. I just really wanted to do college gymnastics. I really wanted to do a Division III team. It just seemed like the perfect fit. Rhode Island's very artsy and very cool. There's a lot of great things there. So moved there, wound up staying there for 10 years. Crazy. So stayed there for 10 years.
Like, even after you graduated.
So I graduated. I actually was a biochemist first. So I did biochemistry, worked at Brown University, worked at a few other companies, making different compounds, goggles, hazmat suits, all that stuff. And then I actually transitioned into fitness because I was doing fitness competitions and I just felt like it was a good fit for me. So switched gears and actually owned a gym there. So I owned a gym there for 3 years. And after I tore my ACL in the show, like we just talked about before, I had been coming in and out of the city for different gigs and writing things. That was the cover of Women's Health. So I feel like that I knew there was more for me. And being in Rhode Island is a place where, you have a family and you probably settle there and stay forever. And I wasn't ready to just settle. And after hurting myself, I realized that if I'm going to do something, I better do it now, because I don't know how long I'm going to have my body. Mm-hmm. And whether it be tearing my ACL or something major happening, I don't know how long I'm going to have this body and how long I'm going to be able to do things like this. So what am I waiting for? So I shut down the gym. Crazy. Totally shut down the gym. It was 1 year ago today.
I know. I saw you.
1 year ago. Isn't that insane? So 1 year ago, I shut down the gym in my Halloween costume and I moved to the city, and I moved to New Jersey again. So back to my parents, right, were like in Morris Plains, was commuting 2 hours in, 2 hours out. And I actually just moved on Sunday into the actual city. So I'm finally, I was here every day anyway, finally moved myself into the Upper East Side. So it's kind of how my story of how I arrived back here.
Yeah. So wait, were you always athletic? Like how did...
So definitely. I think so throughout my childhood, I was definitely very athletic. Okay. My parents put me in every sport, which I actually love them for, because they were like, you're going to put me in every single sport and you're going to pick what you like mm-hmm. to do. So I did everything. I did softball, I did gymnastics, I had horseback rode, I did, you know, all sorts of stuff. And then I really fell in love with gymnastics. It just felt like that place I can go and like kind of get away from everything. So definitely gymnastics. If you're a gymnast, mm-hmm. you can do a lot of other things.
Because right.
you learn a lot. You have good balance, good coordination. Mm-hmm. You're strong. You're well conditioned. So I think that's where the athletic ability came from. I definitely think I did have some of it naturally, but by no means was it easy for me. While other people around me might have been getting their skills right away, it mm-hmm. would take me probably twice as long, but I definitely learned twice as much, like failing and continuing to do that. So definitely athletic all my life. I don't want to say I was healthy all my life, because you can be a gymnast and flip around and do all this stuff, but not necessarily be healthy. I don't mm-hmm. think I was going to the gym a lot, actually conditioning my body the way I'm supposed to. Like I know now, definitely wasn't eating right. I loved McDonald's. Used to go to McDonald's like every day.
Right.
Crazy. So definitely athletic most of my life though.
And did the Olympics ever cross your mind?
Of course, I always wanted to go to the Olympics. Unfortunately, I kind of already knew in my head that wouldn't really be possible, okay. only because they don't want to call out my mom and my dad, but they wouldn't allow me to go to the bigger teams because it mm-hmm. was very expensive and you had to be on a team 5 days a week, you know, double sessions a day. Some people were being homeschooled. And I think that they didn't want me to have that life. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I did want that life, obviously, then. I was like, I want to go to the Olympics, I want right. to do that. But I understand why they didn't really let me do that now. Because that's your life then, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? You don't necessarily know if you're going to make it. So I'm happy that I didn't make it there, but definitely back in my head, I'm like, I want to go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And be like Shawn Johnson. Yeah.
And I know that you didn't actually seek out to be on American Ninja Warrior, right?
So I did. So I kind of seeked out. So I created a video. You have to create a submission okay. video. And I only created the video because I was helping my friend create a video. And I didn't want to step on her toes or get in her way. But the person who was making her video and I were very close. And he's like, why the hell aren't you doing this? You're a bar specialist. Like, you climb on things all the time. This would be perfect for you. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, whatever. So he made the video for me very quickly. I want to say I'm going to actually put up all my videos. I was supposed to put them up yesterday. I didn't have time. I'm going to put them up today. All the videos that I've been through. But I put that video in and I didn't think anything of it. I never even watched the show. And then when I got the call and they told me I had 2 weeks to prepare for it, I was like super unprepared. Mm-hmm. Like was not ready. But so I always tell people it was kind of an accident that I got on the show, but total blessing. It basically found
right.
me because after I got on and I competed mm-hmm. the first time, addicted. Totally addicted yeah. to it.
So I obviously have watched it and it's pretty intense from what I can get out of it as a viewer. But what is it actually like when you're there? Like, are you just in your own mind and you have a mantra that you say to yourself and you're really just like in tune with the obstacle, or are you feeding off of the energy? Like, what is it that like, because obviously it's televised.
Yeah, I definitely think it's the energy. What people don't show is that it's filmed overnight. So you're there from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Like you're pretty much exhausted and it's really, really cold out. But what's really so amazing that they kind of show it is the community of people
okay.
that you're surrounded by. You're surrounded by people of, first of all different ages, mm-hmm. all different types of occupations. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what age they are. It doesn't matter how strong you are. Everybody's together supporting each other. And we just want somebody to finish the course. We don't really care who it is. So I think the community is really cool. People don't see that energy. For me this year, when I came back, I definitely, I had this overwhelming feeling of gratitude just because like I didn't think I was going to be able to come back 11 months later after my surgery. So I think that's why I did so well. And I actually mm-hmm. felt pretty calm and like just like adrenaline rushed on the course because I was just so happy just to be there. And I think if you take it as that and you get rid of all this like competitive, I need to win, I need to do that, like you actually do a lot better.
Mm-hmm. So when you tore your ACL, in your mind, did you say like, I am going to have a comeback? Or was it more of like, I'm going to go with the flow, see how this works. And if I, you know, make a return, I will. And if not, then, you know, that's fine as well.
I think when I hurt myself at first, I was in denial. I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like nothing's wrong with it. And I actually went to the hospital that night. They told me I'd be fine. And I'm like, the next day I woke up, it was so swollen. I'm like, I'm not fine. I don't know if I saw myself having a comeback. I think I was so devastated at that moment that it brought me into like a deep depression and a lull. I was just like, did not think that I just hated it. I'm like, why me? I was in such a why me mm-hmm. moment after that. So I definitely didn't think I was going to come back from it at all. It took me a while to actually change my mindset because, again, I went from the strongest I've ever been to nothing. And I always tell people it's almost like a death. Like you're grieving. Mm-hmm. I was grieving over my body for at least a few months until I had the surgery. And I don't think it was until after I got the surgery and I went in and I was messing around in the gym and I was flipping around my crutches and I posted it on Instagram as a joke and that I got over 10,000 views. This is like when I first started Instagram a year ago, I had like 5,000 followers. It's insane how many followers I have now. But I just remember like 10,000 views on it and all the messages were like, thank you so much. This has helped me get through my injury. And then right then, that's when I realized, you know what? There's a bigger picture here. But it didn't take me until that moment to actually realize it. I was really if you know my closest friend, she will tell you like, oh man, Ange was down for the count for a while.
So you touched a little bit about mindset and I wanted you to just dive more into it. I feel like an athlete, they always say that it's like your mind is, what is that quote? Something about like your mind is more powerful than like your body. Like
yeah,
mental, something like that.
Yeah.
It's all mental. Yeah.
It's all mental.
So how do you even like, I guess what is your, I don't even say advice, but like what is your, not mindset on mindset, but do you know what I mean? Like how do you view mindset and why do you think it's so important for not only athletes, but people in general, whether it's, you know, New Yorkers, people going through stuff all the time. Like, what is it that's so important to like have that? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I think that for a mindset, so I'll say, especially if you're living in New York for an entire year, like it messes with you. Mm-hmm. It messes with you because there's people over around here who are always better than you. Mm-hmm. Seriously. They're always better than you. You're always looking at them. It's just like Instagram and you look through it and you're like, oh, like I'm never going to be able to do that. I'm never going to be good enough. Whatever. Your mindset really messes with you when you're here. Anxiety really high and stuff like that. So I think that my view on that is that you really need to stay aware and in control of what you're feeling. I don't want to say necessarily you have to be positive and stuff all the time though, because that's not realistic mm-hmm. at all. So you can't be that person who's like, nope, I'm positive all the time. That's not life. You're going to have thoughts. Like, what the hell? I can't believe this girl did this over me or why I'm never going to be like that. So I think that it's really important just to recognize how you're feeling and be aware of it. Really making sure that if you journal it and write it down. I know people always like journal, but seriously, journal it down, write exactly how you're feeling. It's really going to take a second. Sometimes you write it down and you realize a little bit of how ridiculous it is. Mm-hmm. You're like, wow, that's really stupid. Like, I can't believe that. So, but I think it's really important that you really need to make sure you just stay in tuned and aware of what you are actually thinking. Because if you can get yourself into a deep, deep, mm-hmm. again, dark depression, unless you do something with it. And a lot of things I like to do is I like to do things that make me feel really uncomfortable with my mindset. So I will stand in front of the mirror, I look at myself and tell myself positive things. It sounds crazy and you feel crazy. You're like, I'm sitting here like, I'm awesome. I can do this, like whatever. But after a while, you start to feel it. You know what I mean? Or after a while you take I always write down my negative thoughts because I'll have a lot of them and I'll just swap them. It'll be like, I'm never going to make it big in the city. And then I'll write, I'm going to make it big. And I'm going to make it big because I'm genuine. I'm compassionate. I want to help people and that's what's going to have me stand out. So you write all those things down and then you look at it and you're like, you know what? I can do this. It's possible. But I do want people to know that mindset wise, you're not always going to be positive. It's just the reality mm-hmm. of life, you know?
Yeah. I love hearing that. Actually, when I'm like dying and I'm like working out or something, like I do the same thing. I'm like, you got this. It's only one more set, like blah, blah, blah. And then like, obviously like one of the worst, or I guess like I have a love hate relationship with burpees and I'll just be like, I changed my mindset, you know, and I'm like, I freaking love burpees. They're the best thing in the world, even though I hate them. But it's all about the way you see it. And I don't want to say you're tricking yourself, but it's kind of like training your mind to look at it positively.
It's like you fake it till you make it. 100%. You fake it till you make it till you believe it.
Oh, do you know what I mean? Okay. Like, yeah.
That's why you're doing it. You're not faking it because you're just going to continue to fake it. You're going to fake it and then you're going to make it.
Yeah.
And you're really going to believe exactly what you're saying. It's going to take a while to do that, but I totally agree with tricking your mindset and stuff like that because your mind can run wild. Mm-hmm. And there'll be other times where you just have these, I mean, I don't know if you can relate to this also, but you can like, you have these great positive,
like, I can do anything. Like, mm-hmm. you'll wake up in the middle of the night, like, I got this.
Yeah.
I got all these ideas. Uh-huh. I'm going to crush this right now. You know what I mean? It's just, it's really interesting.
I know.
It works.
And now, why don't you tell me about your morning routine? Because so intrigued by what time you wake. I bet you're a morning person, 100%.
Yeah, I definitely am a morning person. My morning routine, I'm just, honestly, right now, my own morning routine's been completely thrown off because I just moved to the city.
Right.
But that's a whole other story. But what I do like to do in the morning, so a lot of times people say, we like, meditate in the morning, stuff like that. I have a hard time doing that because I'm normally rushing the hell out of the door really, really early. So it's really hard for me to sit down and actually meditate. Mm-hmm. But what I do try and do is journal 100%, or I would journal on the train on my 2-hour ride. I would sit down and write down my thing. So wake up, my journal consists of a few different things. I mean, and everybody change. I change it every year, just change it from like to what I'm feeling. I normally write out what I'm feeling or what's been going on, and it could be really short. And honestly, sometimes you can't even read it, but it's just me scribbling.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Me too.
You're like, I don't know what the hell, this does not make sense, but whatever. So I date it. I write down a little section. Then I do this thing called the CTFAR method. It's circumstance, thought, feeling, CTFAR. And then the result. So you'll write down your circumstance. A lot of times my circumstance lately has been my career, right? So circumstance is your career. My thought is that I'm not good enough. I'm never going to be like these fitness people. And now people are like, wow, Angela, what happened? You think like that. But seriously, that's, you know, sometimes you're like, I'm not going to make it. And then my feelings, I feel sad. I feel insecure. I feel, you know, not worthy, all sorts of stuff. And then your actions, like, what are you doing right now? I'm kind of paralyzed. I stop. I don't do anything. Right. And then what's the result? And it will be like something ridiculous. Like, I'm never going to make it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go back to my old job, like whatever. And then you take exactly that thing and then you swap it to the positive. So you take the same circumstance, your thought, your positive thought. Mm-hmm. I am going to make it big again, because then, you know, how you feel, I feel good. I feel worthy. I feel whatever. So you write those things down. So I normally do like two different categories. A lot of times it has to do with a career thing for me. And then it normally has to do with some type of relationship, whether it be friends or just people in general. Because mm-hmm. in the city, like, I feel guys don't like strong women, but that's a whole other thing. in the city especially. But so that, then I'll write three things I'm grateful for, three things that are really stressing me out. They're normally the same thing. And then I'll write really big letters, capital, my affirmations. Like, I love writing, like, I'm a money-making machine, mm-hmm. or, you know, I am enough. I always write, I am enough, money-making machine, all sorts of things. Like, I am worthy of this. Like, I'll write all things in big letters. And again, it seems ridiculous sometimes, but I'm really excited to have my apartment now, because I'm probably going to put sticky notes right when I go
for
my
sure.
door.
Yeah.
Like, all those, like, on my door. But that's basically my morning routine right now. And then when I'm not crazy, I like to have just, like, a shake in the morning just to make sure I go, because, again, I'm rushing. It's, like, 4 a.m, like, 4 or 3 a.m, like, it's not a lot of time to make eggs or whatever. It's just like, gotta go. Like,
yeah. And do you do this every day? Like the journaling?
The journaling every day. Again, I haven't done it for the past like 5 days. And let me tell you, I feel that.
Yeah.
I do not like the fact that I've not been doing it. It's only because I've been running around like unpacking. And mm-hmm. also, I think that's important for people to know on here too. I think people think sometimes that, you know, people are perfect and they do these things all the time. Everybody falls off track of things.
Yeah.
And has to get back on.
I'm the same way. Like, you were talking about meditation, and it was like a year ago when I started it, and I was like on a roll, like every single day. And then when I'm traveling, obviously I can't do that. And then I kind of fall off track. And then I feel it as well. Like, okay, I should be getting back into it because it makes me feel so good. But it's hard, because it's the same thing with working out. Once you like kind of fall off track, it's like, how do you get back on?
Absolutely. I think that getting kickstarted again is really, really tough. And that's why it's important, I think. And I haven't been able to have a coach in a while, but I had a coach for a while who would just kind of keep me on track. Like, what like, what are you doing? Like, what did you do today? And you're like, I didn't really do it. Like, why? Like, why do you? Like, oh, well, I was so busy. I was running around. Mm-hmm. Like, no. I think the biggest thing for all of us to realize is that you need to put yourself first for everything, mm-hmm. no matter what. Like, those moments of you journaling, those moments of you getting your workout in, that needs to come first before anything else. And it's really hard, especially being demanding jobs that people are pulling. I'm being pulled in like 20 different mm-hmm. directions all the time, so it's hard for me. But I'm trying to stay really clear on, like, when I scheduled out that workout time, like, I cannot mm-hmm. Say yes to a meeting. And, oh, I'm busy. It's my meeting to myself.
Yeah.
It's hard to do it when
it's
you're
the
here.
Same thing. So I work out in the morning as well. And I recently was like telling myself, don't check your phone. Because when you check your phone, at least for me, and I have emails, I'm the type of person that I get anxious and I want to answer right away, just because I don't like having like notifications. But what I realized is that when you wake up and you do that, you are answering on their schedule. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And even when you're working out, like sometimes I'll be in my head, I'm not focused because I'm like, oh my God, I need to get to this right afterwards or I'll rush my workout. So nowadays I just either put do not disturb and just, you know what I mean? Like check it afterwards because you can't wake up and function without like function on other people's timelines without giving time for yourself.
Absolutely. And that's why like people always ask me why my notifications on my phone are turned off. And that's why.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go answer the email when I'm back. Yeah. Or same thing with Instagram. Like I don't have my Instagram notifications on. I don't have my text messages. People be like, oh, Angela, you know, like I'm sorry. Like yeah. I cannot because that's exactly what was happening to me. I was getting overwhelmed and I'd be sitting there all of a sudden and people like, we urgently need it now. And I'm like, well, I urgently cannot give it to you right now.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm super busy. But I think it's important to set those boundaries for yourself. Otherwise, we will get so, especially in the stuff that we're doing now, especially for me, who's like freelance, when you freelance things, again, you get pulled 10 different directions. And then you realize that one, you haven't taken care of yourself. Or the one thing, other thing I've noticed is that two, you've done anything towards the goals that you're trying to achieve because you're too busy grabbing everybody else's
right.
and helping them. Yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to shift gears and I want to ask you what keeps you up at night. I know it kind of relates to your journaling component and that's literally the question I ask every single guest because I know we don't really know each other, but I think it's important to just check in with each other. You know what I mean? Like you're running around doing God knows how many things I want and I'm so grateful that you take time out of your schedule to come here, but like, let's just chat, like what's going on. It could be something that you're going through right now, whether it's your move, your training, whatever the case is. But if you can just be like, listen, this is what is stressing me the hell out.
No, I love this because I feel like it's super important.
Yeah.
I think people perceive people on Instagram as they just right. have it all together, but we like don't. So well, first of all, it actually keeps me up at night. I have a really hard time sleeping. I don't know why.
Okay.
I will lay down and my mind will start racing and I'll start thinking about all the things I want to do and all the things that I'm not doing yet and like, why have I done that yet? But in reality, a lot of these things take a long time. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen now, but mm-hmm. I want it now. So I think what's been keeping me up at night lately has been that I feel like I am being pulled in too many directions and I'm not focusing enough on a couple of things that I actually want to focus on for my career wise, I think. So for me, I feel like I had like an amazing online kind of business going on, you know, training people online and stuff like that. And kind of got away from me as I started training for the place I'm at now, Grit, you know, things, mm-hmm. you know, you get again more demands, like, you know, being pulled there. So I think it's been keeping me up at night is hope just looking back and being like, oh my God, like I feel like I'm maybe not as focused as I should be. And that's why these things aren't going to happen. Because you have to stay consistent and focus on like one. I know it was in that book, the one thing, right?
Yeah. I know, but it's true though.
Yeah. It can't necessarily be one thing, I feel like, but you really need to
put the priorities.
Focus.
Yeah.
You got to put the focus in it. You know, you got to figure out where you're actually shifting. And I think really trying to figure out exactly what makes me happy and where I really want to put that time into has been really tough because again, I've just been pulled a lot. So for me, keeping me up at night is just really trying to figure out exactly what I need to put mm-hmm. the time into and then just making the time freaking happen. Like just sticking to it
right.
instead of just, again, because if you're doing too many mm-hmm. things, no matter what, you're not going to succeed in either of them. It's like you're putting like maybe like 20% into like all these different products mm-hmm. instead of putting like at least 80% into one and then doing really, really well,
exactly.
crushing it. So I think for me, that's been keeping me up at night and all the ideas of the things that I want to finish. So for me, I'm definitely going to go back to online, and not just because online is big right now. I just feel like if you do it correctly, you can make a bigger impact on more people and people who've been wanting to reach me. Like I can now help them the best that I can, mm-hmm. like in the way that I want to. And also wanting to make that not only, I mean, people are so about money, 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 and you obviously need money, but I want to make that accessible to people and not just be for exclusive, because a lot of my stuff has been exclusive for only certain people and stuff like that. I want to be so that everybody can access it. So I think I've just been mind's been racing with stuff like that. Another thing my mind's been racing with, and this is how you can tell that I'm like still all over the place, is I've always been wanting to get into stunts and stunt doubling. I know. So I actually went to a movie set the other day. I can't obviously say the names of it or anything, but I played a role as a zombie and saw a bunch of the stunt doubles and talked to them. And I really have kind of thrown myself off from doing that because mm-hmm. I've just been so busy with the other stuff. But I'm like, this makes me happy. This makes me excited. Mm-hmm. So I guess for me, just trying to really prioritize what I want to actually do. Mm-hmm. And that may be completely outside of what I'm doing now.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think you are a people pleaser though? Like, why do you think you're getting pulled by so many, you know, forces and instead of just kind of staying on your own path?
I definitely do. I think that I'm such a genuine hearted person. Mm-hmm. So I really want to make everybody happy. Mm-hmm. And it gets really tough for me sometimes. Or I hear what somebody says, like, oh, don't do that. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I start to doubt myself instead of being like, no, like, that's what I'm going to do. Maybe mm-hmm. different from what your path is and what you're doing. But I definitely think that I've always, my entire life, mm-hmm. 100% been a people pleaser. And it's been hard for me to get away from that. So it's definitely something I 100% need to work on. Again, it comes with just being just a really nice person sometimes, you know what I mean? So I totally agree with that.
And then how do you deal with stress? Because New Yorkers, we're all stressed. And I'm always just curious to see like what people's methods are. People go to the gym. Some people, you know, I don't know, do CBT. Right? Because that's like kind of trending.
So my stress, so this is funny. It's like, especially because you're right about the city. So my way to cope with stress and may not be the best way is, well, I would definitely obviously work out. But number two, I get away from the city, which we travel and stuff like that. But sometimes it's just really good to get away, like for real.
Right.
Like I have one of the things that I really want to do this coming year is get away to the city, go to a little bungalow in California, even though I have my apartment here, and just get away from all the noise and just be. Like just do my work there, go as I please, not be on anybody else's schedule and stuff like that. So that's one way that I deal with my stress, is kind of like to get away from it for a second. And I think that kind of centers you to realize what you need to breathe and chill out for a second, stuff like that. And then obviously like the journaling helps with the stress. But I mean, as I said, I feel like I'm basically always stressed. I'm stressed out like sitting on this train.
I know.
When people are so close to me, I'm like, get away from me.
I know.
Like, yeah.
I was telling you that I was traveling. I do travel a lot. And every time literally the second I land, I'm like stressed. Like, I feel like I live a double life. Like, when I'm elsewhere, whether it's work or not, I'm usually more relaxed. And I don't even know what my life is in New York. And then literally once I land at JFK, I get my Uber. Like, my mind is racing. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got to do this. And it's crazy how quickly your body and your mind adapts to the environment.
Yeah.
You know, it's so insane.
It's so insane. It's definitely crazy. But things do happen here.
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure.
So I've only been here for 1 year. And if I started to write out my accomplishments because I have to make my ninja. Well, I just finished my American Ninja Warrior submission video for this year, and it was all about how I left my gym and whatever. And I was going through all the lists of stuff that I did accomplish in 1 year.
I
feel like I accomplished a lot just in my life in general, and I've always been a go-getter. But here, stuff happens. Mm-hmm. It just happens. So it's definitely the place to go, but it's definitely you need to slow down sometimes.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, you. There's pros and cons. You can't have it all good and you can't, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to have it all bad as well.
Yeah.
So this podcast is called The City Confessions. And the reason why it's called that is because at the end, I want all the guests to share a confession. This could tie into kind of what you said originally, because a lot of the questions that I get, like I ask people to get their minds, you know, thinking is like, what is one misconception people have of you that you don't, that they don't know? And you were saying like, maybe that you don't have your shit together, or the fact that you might have all these other goals that are maybe not aligning directly with what you're doing now. So, and it could be silly. It doesn't have to be anything serious. Like, I think when I say that, people get like stressed and they're like, wait, I gotta think of a good confession. Like, there's no good or bad. It's just like, what's a confession you have? And the reason why I thought of this is because, like you were saying, when even coming here, you probably came across a million people. And I usually just look at people and I'm like, everybody has a story, which is so interesting. But also everybody has like a confession. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Everyone has something that like really perceive or like know about.
Yeah.
Them.
So I just thought it's just like a fun, you know.
Yeah, no, I think this is a really good one. And I'm trying to think, you know. I think from people, when they look at me from the outside in, especially like on my Instagram, they always will message me, oh my God, you have it all together, or da da da, you're just like crushing it, da da da. I love that. People are like, you're crushing it. And I guess my confession was me, like, I fully never have the thought that I've actually been crushing it yet, which is crazy, right? Because you can look at all the list of accomplishments that I've done and be so much like, oh my God, like she's crushing it, whatever. But for me personally, I guess my confession is I don't feel like I've quite made it yet. I don't feel like I've made it. For me, like my own, like what I want, I don't feel like I'm there yet.
But I feel like that's coming, it's like almost a good thing because yes. I feel like you, that just goes to show how much of a go-getter you are and that you are dreaming bigger for yourself and the fact that you have, like, you know that you have so much more to offer to the world.
It's just so interesting because I feel like it's, like, let's say right years ago, if you would have told me I would have been in a giant spread of Oxygen magazine, that would have been everywhere. Like, that would have been everything to me. Mm-hmm. Now I got that and I'm like, well, why don't I have a cover? You know, isn't that crazy? Like, you know what I mean? So I think that's a big confession. And I think a lot of us do have that.
I get it. Yeah.
So everyone will say things like, and I'll be so thrilled and stuff like that. So I think my biggest confession is that I don't feel like I'm quite where I want to be yet. And mm-hmm. that I haven't been quite fulfilled yet. I don't know if that moment will ever come. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it will. But it's just interesting. I think that because everyone is always like, well, like, you know, mm-hmm. but I just, for me, just now it's not enough yet. Like, yeah. It's not enough.
But I think it's also important to acknowledge your achievements and still be grateful for it because yes, so grateful, it's great yes. that you're like, okay, but I got this, but I can do this. But it's also good to be like, wow, I'm a badass. Like I just landed this cover or I just like, you know what I mean? It's like you want to set bigger goals for yourself, but you also don't want to like diminish what you
absolutely. Have. And for me, it's just really interesting because I said like I am positive and I do all this stuff, but I just still think I always tell people like this sometimes. I'll be like, I still don't think I'm the cool kid yet. I'm not that cool yet.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like it's not quite like not that cool, but I think that's interesting for people to know. And I think a lot of even like actresses or any other big people, if you've ever talked to them, like they do feel the same way, which mm-hmm. is really interesting because you're just like, why? Like,
yeah.
How have you not been like that?
Right.
But I think that's a big thing.
Well, that's what they always say to like certain people, like fame, money, like that's not always, you know, equivalent to happiness.
Well, look at those people, right? Yeah. Yes. They have all this amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. They have millions of dollars. They have all this stuff, whatever. And if they're in deep, dark depression, mm-hmm. it just goes to show that there's so much more to it mm-hmm. than that. So yeah, I guess that's like one of my biggest confessions. I don't want to say that I'm not as confident as people think, but it's just like, I'm probably not as confident as people think, honestly, but I just don't stop. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that I'm really good enough yet, but I just keep going, even though I feel that way.
Right.
So I think maybe that's an important lesson for people to know too.
For sure.
That a lot of us, we don't think that we're good enough. We
yeah.
don't think that we, but the difference between the people who make it and don't, the people who keep pushing, even though they were like, I don't feel like I agree
100%.
Yeah.
And are you ever like transparent with those feelings? Like,
totally. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I try and be really transparent, as best as that I can with a lot of things. I mean, the only thing I don't think I'm really transparent about is people don't really know my actual home life. Like my home life and my family is a bit of a mess, but unfortunately I feel like that's not my story to tell. So I have a hard time like actually sharing things mm-hmm. like that. But if people actually saw, a lot of my friends do know my home life, I think they would be literally shocked that I've done what I've done. And pushing through like other things mm-hmm. and everybody's obstacles with their family and stuff like that. But yeah, unfortunately like those things, I'm like, that's not my story to tell. So I tell the stories that I can tell. Because I think it's important. I want people to see how real I am. And I think that's why my Instagram has exploded this year. That's why these things, because I actually was really open about things. When I did the Women's Health Naked issue, I don't know if you saw that,
mm-hmm.
But which was like crazy. But I did that. And I think that what people liked about mine the most, because a couple of them got some negative feedback, I think mine was perceived very positively because I was very open about how I felt about my body. Because people are like, you're only showing perfect bodies in this magazine. It's not fair, da da da. But I didn't write about my perfect body in the article. The article is about how people call me Mandela and how I was really insecure about my body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, teaching people that, you know, you got to love your body and, you know, whatever, you know, form that you're in. So I think it's really important for people to realize that and to be transparent. Because, again, you may look at someone and be like, oh, they look perfect. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of other stuff 100%. Going on in
yeah.
their head. Like, so people can be so quick to judge on those mm-hmm. things. But yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
I also want to take a moment now to just acknowledge you and your energy and just like your whole presence. And I really appreciate you taking your time out of your day, because what I've learned from doing this is that people are often doing me a favor by, you know, taking time out of their days, like I said, to record this. And time is so, so valuable, because you could be using this time to do whatever the hell.
But this is so valuable because this is bigger. This is bigger than just the time. This is like going to reach out. If it's reaches, let's say if it only reached five people, mm-hmm. it might affect three of those people's lives. And that's what this is all about. So I think this is very important mm-hmm. and you should take time out of this. I just think that we are crazy people.
I know. We've been trying to schedule this for like, I think like not even joking, like five times. Over like a month.
Everything just kept coming up. I'm like, this is crazy. I don't think I've ever had like such a big of an issue like trying to schedule stuff. Like,
but hey, we're here.
We did it. We made it happen.
Yay. Okay, two more questions before we wrap it up. So the second to last question I always ask is, what is the one thing you love most about yourself? Because you know we have to end on a positive note for sure. And it should be easy because you're like, oh, every morning I say this and that. So,
yeah, I think I want to say if I could say the one thing that first of all, let me just say real quick why I'm going to say this. I actually talk to a fortune teller like every month. It sounds crazy. Whatever.
She's awesome. Really into that.
She's like a woman who like is from Rhode Island and doesn't have a business card. Like she's just,
word of mouth. Yeah. That's how you know they're legit.
And she told me the other day when I was doubting myself and, asking questions about if I'm on the right path and stuff like that. She said, Angela, no matter what you do, continue to be you and continue to be your genuine self. And I think that's what I love so much about myself is I am really genuine. And I feel like that's really hard to find sometimes. So I am genuine. I am real. I do actually really care. When I talk to people, I actually look at them in the mm-hmm. eye. I'm actually really trying to listen to them. Mm-hmm. And I think that the fact that I'm genuine and I am real, I think that that comes off really like approachable and nice. And I think that that helps a lot of people because, some people who are like me and like tough and strong and a little scary, like, I feel like since I'm so genuine, mm-hmm. it's more approachable. So I feel like that's like my favorite part about myself.
Yeah, I love that. And of course, now I want to know, what are you up to? Like, what can we look out for you in the last 2 months, actually, which is crazy because this episode is going live literally like the fourth day of November. But also, the rest of the year, 2020, like what are you up to? What are your goals?
It's so crazy right now. I think that mainly what's happening is, right now I'm finishing my moving in. And I think that's been tough for me because it's having to step back from my actual career stuff real quick and just get my life together.
I didn't realize how crazy stressful like moving is. It takes like, I thought when I moved in, I was like, I'm going to be moved in 2 weeks. No. Like 3 months, girl.
Exactly. So I think for me right now, it's been hard for me to set back career stuff because you have to get your life together.
But you have
to. You've got to stay comfortable. So right now I'm focusing on me mm-hmm. and focusing on that, getting back into some. I want to do National Ninja League stuff. So I got to get back into ninja shape. I don't feel like I'm in ninja shape right now because I've been focusing on mm-hmm. the other things right now. So getting myself back into shape. You definitely can look out for me. There's a few articles that will be coming out that I've written with Women's Health and Strong. And Women's Health, we're having a special project that we're working on. I'm not sure when that's going to come out, but it definitely has stuff to do with pull-ups. People want to get pull-ups.
I know. I do. My goal is to get one pull-up.
And that's like people come to me to get the pull-up. So I want to help everybody get their pull-up. So I would definitely look out for that. And I also will be having my online. I'm going to kickstart that again. We're going to start with a 7-day challenge right after Thanksgiving.
Perfect.
7 days of workouts. It's going to be really cheap. I just want to help you guys get back into it again. And then, so definitely keep an eye out for me there. And then, I just have so many goals that I have that I want to come to fruition.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll see me like stunting some more and
doing
some more of that stuff. Yeah.
I'm so excited to follow your journey and I so appreciate you for being here. I'm going to leave all of Angela's information in the description, her website, I guess, her Instagram and all the good stuff. So thank you again for being here. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode and stay tuned for the next one. Bye.